Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor to right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life.
I'm in a weird mood today. Can you tell? It's 4:32 on downtown. Time to talk a little football and more as we welcome into the program our friend from the Portland Press Herald, Travis Lazarchik. Hey there, Travis.
Hey, Rich. Good afternoon, and congratulations. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you very much. You were not even alive when I started on the radio, but then I was barely alive myself.
I'm 51, sir.
So. Oh, well, you wear it well.
Yeah, thank you.
How have you been as we swing through the late summer into the early fall here? It's a busy time for you, I'm guessing.
It is busy, but it's fun. The Sea Dogs have wrapped things up, kind of focus on some UMaine football a little bit. UMaine hockey practices are going on. Basketball will be starting soon. Plenty of high school things in Southern Maine to keep me busy as well. But it's good to have a fun job like this.
Excellent. Well, let's start by talking a little Black Bear football. You were at the game last weekend. Maine struggling 0-3 on the season, and most of those struggles centered around the offense. They had a great opening drive last week against Rhode Island, and then that was largely it.
Yeah, they just, Rich, have to find a way to sustain those drives. They're just not converting on third down. What are they at about, 29-30% on third down for the season? That's not going to cut it, especially when you're not getting teams off the field. Their opponents have been around 50%, and last week Rhode Island was 13-for-18 on third down, and it wasn't like it was third and short every time. They were converting some long third and long. So you have to figure that out. You have to get your opponent off the field, and you got to stay on it.
Yeah, and I'm not sure where the problem is. When they've stuck with the running game, Tristan Keenan's done a pretty good job. They've had a decent success as well throughout the course of the season from John Gay. And if you look at the completion percentage numbers for Derek Robertson, they look good. But the telling stat is yards per pass. Most of those passes have been less than 10 yards.
Yeah, they're not getting that big play. No touchdown passes yet either, which is a little concerning after three games. We kind of knew that defenses would key on Montego Moss because he's such a dynamic playmaker. And for a while, it looked like, you know, maybe Jamie Lamson and Joe Gillette and some of the other guys would kind of pick up that baton and go with it because they're going to be open. Hasn't quite happened yet on a consistent basis. And I'm looking for more out of the tight ends, too. I'm kind of disappointed that Cooper Heisey and Rohan Jones in particular have only a combined 10 catches for 92 yards. That's only 9.2 yards a catch. That's got to see improvement as well.
And I feel like the offensive line has done a pretty decent job. Not a lot of sacks, but from what we've observed doing the games on radio, it appears there are times when Derek Robertson hasn't been quick enough to climb the pocket and try to look for maybe that secondary receiver.
Yeah, he's kind of got a get that, you know, that progression quicker, doesn't it?
It seems that way, yeah. And the other thing, and I don't know if it's that they don't have enough speed in the receiver core or what the issue is, but nobody seems to get much separation from the defensive backs.
No, and that goes back to, like we said, they're going to key on, you know, Montego Moss, make sure that he doesn't get open down the field for his big plays. And other guys have been good in short yardage situations, but they're not generating those big chunk plays that we're seeing from the opponents. Rhode Island scored on, I think, every one of their touchdowns last weekend was over 10 yards. So they're giving up those chunk plays, but they're not converting their own.
And I will say this about the defense. They again, have fallen victim to some big plays this year. But, boy, there have been some standouts there. And I look, first of all, at their middle linebacker, Darius McKenzie, who's having a heck of a season. And then the young man who transferred from Boston College, Isaiah Henderson, has been a big playmaker early on, 17 tackles, including 4 tackles for a loss.
Yeah, I'm really pleased with the way McKenzie's playing, too. He's a kid who played a little bit last year. Didn't see a ton of time, but he's kind of established himself in that middle of the defense. Isaiah Henderson, you mentioned, having a nice start of the season. I'm impressed that Bugs Brown is on the field at all after having his ACL tear so late in the season, and he's played well. It's nice to see him come back from that so quickly.
Absolutely. So the Black Bears will have their hands full this weekend against this William & Mary team, although their MO so far has been all about the defense. They have not put a lot of points on the board themselves, but they've got a veteran quarterback and Darius Wilson. Bronson Yoder, who has been such a good running back in his career, didn't get much last week against Charleston Southern. I wonder if he might be dinged up a little bit.
Yeah, he might be, but you're right. The defense is what's kind of made that William & Mary team go. Their defensive strengths look like they play right into Maine's weaknesses. They've allowed a national best, only 4-for-31 on third down conversions. We've already talked about how that's been a weak point for Maine, and William & Mary is just shutting teams down, only allowing about 12 points a game, which is about what Maine's averaging. So it's going to be a tough test, but they knew it was going to be a tough team because William & Mary was the runaway favorite in the preseason coaches poll in the CAA.
Yeah, their defense is huge. They've got the, he's the current reigning National Defensive Player of the Week in Nate Lynn, their defensive end. And then John Pius, their outstanding linebacker, preseason All-American and preseason Defensive Player of the Year in the conference.
Yeah, they're kind of loaded at all spots out there. It's a third straight ranked opponent for Maine. And then hopefully the schedule is starting to soften up a little bit. But I think there are some wins out there for the Black Bears. They just have to get to them and find them.
And Maine has played pretty well in recent years against William & Mary. The toughest opponent, maybe for both teams, might be this tropical storm that's brewing. And as of this afternoon, is barreling right toward North Carolina and the Virginia coast Friday night and Saturday.
Yeah, it's another rainy weekend. It looks like we're going to get some rain here in Maine on Saturday, too. Not from that storm, but from something. So, that could play a factor into it. If the wind and rain slows down William & Mary on both sides of the ball, you might give Maine a puncher's chance.
Yeah, you stick to that ground game and see what you can get going. Travis Lazarczyk with us here on Downtown. I saw you were at Maine's hockey practice yesterday. How did the Black Bears look?
They had a little inter-squad scrimmage, mixed up the lines and things, just because when you have that kind of scrimmage, you just don't have enough to roll out, three lines on each side. But they look good. I'm excited to see what Bradley Netto, the first-round draft pick of the Carolina Hurricanes, can do here in his first year of college. He's going to have his brother Josh most likely on the line with him. They seem to play well together. They've been doing it for a few years, so maybe pair them with Lyndon Breen at center, and that could be an exciting top line for the Black Bears.
Seems to be a lot of optimism about this program, and I think part of that is because people have been impressed with the way Ben Barr has run things in his first couple of seasons.
Yeah, he's done it at every other stop. He's recruited kids that have made runs at national championships, and they improved from 7 wins to 15 from Barr's first to second season last season. There's no reason to think the improvement should not continue this year. They do have 11 new faces on the team, but they return a lot of guys back from last year's club that was playing, with the exception of a couple games down the stretch, particularly that playoff game against Vermont. They were playing pretty well. And now they've got some added speed to go with it, some veteran defensemen. So I think there should be optimism around the Black Bears.
And a fair amount of excitement, too, about both of the basketball programs coming up.
Yeah, well, I mean, the University of Maine women's basketball team returns the last two conference players of the year. So they're going to be right in the mix of things. And the men's team, again, Chris Markwood had a great improvement last year with that club, and they should continue that improvement. I don't know if they're ready to compete with Vermont for the league title yet, but they should be continue to fight their way up the America East standings.
Now, I'm hearing, and I don't know what you've heard, that we may, by the end of the year, have some more detailed, including maybe some timelines, on the next phase of the facilities project at the university.
I haven't heard any specific numbers, but yeah, I mean, it would be nice to kind of get some more concrete idea of when some of these things are going to happen. I was in the Alphon yesterday, Rich, and the new scoreboard and sound system are fantastic. Fans are going to be in for a treat for that. But yeah, it'll be nice when they can play basketball in a new arena. That's probably, at least 6, 7, maybe 8 years away on that side. But we've got the softball field. We've got the field hockey field now. Now you need to figure out what to do with Alphon Stadium and a soccer pitch. But they're slowly but surely coming along.
Hey, you did a nice piece recently on some of the Red Sox prospects who have made their way through Portland. As you look at some of those guys, and we await to see who the Red Sox can find as the new director of baseball operations, who has impressed you most out of those young guys who've been in Portland?
I'm really impressed, and they were only in Portland for a couple of weeks to end the season, but Roman Anthony and Kyle Teal, really showed me that they could be really strong prospects. Anthony, only 19 years old and a year and a half out of high school, playing great outfield and hitting the ball well. And Kyle Teal, just drafted in July, hit low A, went right to high A, and then, you know, came up to Portland for the final 2 weeks of the season and immediately continued to hit, continues to call a good game behind the plate, is working on his receiving. He was the ACC Player of the Year and a first-team All-American catcher, so you know he's got some talent. And he hasn't seen phased by the rapid ascension through the Red Sox minor league system yet. We kind of got disappointed by Marcelo Meyer just because he got hurt and missed a lot of time after he got called up to Portland in late May around Memorial Day, but I think he's a guy who might end up back in Portland to start next year before he moves on to Worcester.
Well, Chaim Bloom took the fall this week for essentially doing most of what ownership wanted him to do, and at the top of that list was rebuild that farm system. It seems like he did a pretty solid job of that.
He did a very good job of it. Though now the thing that he never quite figured out, Rich, was use those chips and to acquire major league talent. He never seemed to have the nerve or, you know, fortitude to make that deal if there was one on the table. Not all these guys are going to play in Boston. They got a glut of infield prospects right now. Could use some pitching. I think you could flip some of those guys for some pitching that might be close to major league ready. That was one thing Bloom just couldn't quite do. I always think about the Theo Epstein trading Nomar at the trade deadline. I just don't think Bloom would have made that kind of gutsy deal.
Well, no, and if I have anything about his tenure that ticks me off, it's the fact that apparently he had the chance to unload Chris Sale's contract last year and didn't do it.
Yeah, he's just got to be a little more willing to make the deal that's makeable. It seems like he settled in the Mookie Betts deal. You were never going to get full value for a player of Mookie Betts' talent. He's a generational player, but I think they could have done a lot better.
So do you think that the ownership just opens up the bank and says, okay, we've got a new guy in, let's give him a chance to get off to a good start, go out and make some deals and sign some guys?
Yeah, I don't know. They seem to sweet seesaw, but they want to make the fan base happy, right? You know, they spent all the money when they brought in Dave Dombrowski because they could feel the fans kind of getting antsy, and then they said, well, maybe we ought to scale this back and do things like the Tampa Bay Rays, you know, but they're not the Tampa Bay Rays. They still have the highest ticket price in baseball at a stadium that's not comfortable, to say the least. And then now maybe they'll swing back to the closer to the Dave Dombrowski kind of era, where they're more willing to open the checkbook for free agents. They're more willing to trade prospects for a proven major league talent.
Well, and you're right about them swinging back and forth, not just with the way they spend money, but with the type of person they get. And so given what we've seen the last few times they've changed leaders here, I kind of expect they go maybe with an old school guy similar to a Dombrowski.
Yeah, I still think they'll find someone who's a happy medium where they like the analytics. You know, they've had that right since Theo Epstein, really, but someone who's gonna, you know, look at the glut of first basemen in the minor leagues, go, not all these guys are gonna play for the Red Sox. They all might play in the major leagues, but we need to use some of them to get some people we need.
Absolutely. Travis Lazarchik, Portland Press Herald. Travis, great talking with you as always. Appreciate you making a little time for us this afternoon, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
All right, Rich. Take care. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks. You too.